Well, let me invite you tonight over the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able," listen to this, "even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And then, Lord, again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And we surely know that you love your church. You gave yourself for it, and you truly want to bless your church. Give us more wisdom and understanding concerning your will for our lives as individuals, as family members, and as your body here at Northwood Baptist Church. Bless, Lord, tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is found really there in verse 21. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's like the added icing on the top. Not only is he able to do everything, but even to subdue all things unto himself. Listen, including your life and mine. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So that's the title of the message. And before we get started in the message, and in fact, let me just give you my points tonight. And that Paul is writing to the Philippian believers, of course, but also to us today, because this is the Word of God, and it goes throughout all the generations. And so Paul is wanting us to understand the experience of God's transforming work in our life. And if God is going to do that in our life, there are four truths that God wants us to be mindful concerning this transforming work that God wants to do in our lives. So the first one is to be mindful to attain the resurrection of the dead. And then secondly, we need to be mindful of the things of God. Thirdly, we need to be mindful of who you follow. And then we need to be mindful of our conversation, which will surprise you really what that means. It has to do with our citizenship. You and I have citizenship in another kingdom that's eternal that will never pass away. Amen. And so God wants us to be mindful that we are not just citizens of America or citizens of whatever nation the believer is in, but we are citizens of his kingdom, and we belong there because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's important in keeping our thought. I do want to share this also by way of introduction. I found this quite interesting. This is a daily devotional. It goes throughout the whole year. It's from Paul Chapel, a daily word. But I read this today. As a family, we read this. And I want you to listen to it because I think it's important. It's titled, "Did You Do Your Best? Did You Do Your Best?" And the scripture given is 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Let me share this with you. Here's what he says. "For many years, every officer aboard a nuclear submarine was personally interviewed by and approved by Admiral Hyman Rickover, the head of the U.S. Nuclear Navy. Among them was former President Jimmy Carter, who years ago applied for the service under Rickover." I didn't know that, but that's interesting, isn't it? "Following is his record of the interview." This is Jimmy Carter's record of this interview. Listen to this. Quote, "It was the first time I met Admiral Rickover, and we sat in a large room by ourselves for more than 2 hours. He always looked right into my eyes, and he never smiled. I was saturated with cold sweat. Finally, he said, 'How did you stand in your class at the Naval Academy?' Since I had completed my sophomore year at Georgia Tech before entering Annapolis as a plebe, he said, 'I'd done very well.' And I swelled my chest with pride and answered, 'Sir, I stood 59th in a class of 820. I sat back to wait for the congratulations, which never came. Instead, the question, "Did you do your best?" I started to say, 'Yes, sir,' but I remembered who this was and recalled several of the many times at the academy when I could have learned more about our allies, our enemies, weapons, strategy, and so forth. I was just human. I finally gulped
and said, "No, sir, I didn't always do my best." He looked at me for a long time and then turned his chair around to end the interview and asked one final question, which I have never been able to forget or to answer. He said, "Why not?" I sat there for a while, shaken, and then slowly left the room. Too many times we go through the motions of service to the Lord without giving our best. But more important than standing before an admiral, we will be standing before Christ to give an account of our lives. When Christ asks you, if you gave your best for him, what will your honest answer be? Ask God to help you to give him your best in all that you do. Amen. And I thought that was an encouraging devotional that I think God wants us to keep at the forefront of our thinking, because he is really the reason for our living. We've been given eternal life and a privilege and an opportunity to live for him. So let's consider these things that God wants us to be mindful of concerning our transforming, or the Lord's transforming work in our lives. First, back up with me to verse 10. And he tells us here to be mindful to attain the resurrection of the dead. It's been already provided for, but we must attain it. In other words, here it is, ready? The Lord is giving every believer an opportunity to do something that we are not able to do without him. And that is to do the supernatural in the natural realm. Do you remember when the Lord came walking on the water? And everybody was afraid. And then he said, "Fear not, it's me." And Peter said, "If it's you, then bid me to come." Peter said, I want to walk on the water. And guess what happened? He got out and he walked on the water for a little while, didn't he? But I wonder how many of us as believers in our faith and in the work of the Lord are still in the boat. When God is saying, "Come unto me, follow me, let me show you the way of life eternal." He's wanting to give you and I the opportunity and understanding. And so tonight in verse 10, he wants us to be mindful to attain the resurrection of the dead, because he provided it in his salvation. So notice this, verse 10 says, "That I may know him and the power of what? Of his resurrection." That's resurrection power, that I may know him. Now wait a minute, isn't Paul a believer? Let me ask you this question. Are the Philippians believers as well? But he's giving them some information to be careful and to be mindful that they understand the power of his resurrection. Listen to this. And this is where it kind of drops off a little bit in the natural realm. "And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Now, here's what he's saying, really. In order for us, for you and I, to know the power of his resurrection that he's given to us, we are going to have to allow the flesh to suffer. Because, see, the natural realm is at enmity with the spiritual realm. The things of the flesh are in contrast against the things of the spirit. So God says, "I'm going to do a work. And I'm going to do things and bring things and put things into your life that will allow you to see the stench of the flesh, the abominable ideas of self, and that we would set those aside for the things of Christ." And he says those two can't come together. You cannot mix yourself up with the Spirit of God and expect me to receive that. That's trying to do the things of God with the mixture of the natural realm, and we can't do that. So he wants us to understand that the suffering part, and before we get overwhelmed with it, is the idea of not allowing ourselves to have its will and its way, but that we would say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want you to be foremost. And God, listen, I need you to bring me to that place that you might have first place or preeminence in my life. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means," listen, "I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." So if we're going to attain that, we're going to have to die to self, and we cannot even do that work. It is the Lord that does, that subdues all things unto himself. It is the Lord that subdues all things, even ourself, even our will. It has to be the Lord that subdues all things unto himself. We don't even, listen, you can want to, and you might even do it like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat for a little bit, and then he got distracted with the boisterous waves, and what happened? He began to sink. How about your life and mine? Yes, Lord, I love you, I want to serve you, and we try, and what happens? We begin to sink. We may do it for a little while, and that's because God says you cannot do it with mixture. You have to have complete faith and trust in me in order to walk on that which is not natural, and that's in the spiritual realm. That is, in other words, you have to step aside and let the Holy Spirit that has quickened your spirit live through you. But see, the corn of wheat has to die that the life might come from within. That shell has to be broken. That outermost part of ourself, who we are, and who, you know, we think we're so crafty. We think we have this and we have that. And God says, I want none of it. I want simply what I gave you in your salvation, and that's the Spirit of God. So we must be mindful to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And that's what God has given to us. Now, I want you to consider something here as we look to these verses. Look at verse 12. I want to call out verse 12 and verse 16 so you can see what he's saying here. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. He says, I want to, this is my goal, and I'm not running. This is Paul, and I'm not saying that I've already achieved it. Because the truth is, in the Lord, there's no end. And so he's running still. Would you say Paul was a successful believer? Would you say that the Apostle Paul was used by God? Would you say that God blessed Paul to be a blessing to his people? Would you say that through Paul, God was able to start churches and bring the light of the gospel into a dark and dying world? Well, here's the good news. God wants to do that through your life and mine as well. But if we're not careful, we say, oh no, that was just for Paul. We've got our eyes on the wrong person. Because Paul will tell you, it was not me, it was Christ in me that made the difference. See, Daniel would tell you, it was not Daniel, it was the God of Daniel that kept the mouths of the lions closed. See, Samson would tell you, he did not look like a strong muscle man, he looked like just any other man, but it was God that enabled him to do the things that he did. And it will be the same God that will enable your life and mine to honor and glorify him if we'll have it. It's already been given if we'll trust the Lord. If we'll put our faith and believe on what he has said. See, we're not waiting for anything. God has already provided it. We just need to have that V8 moment. Forgive me for saying that. You know, like, oh, I didn't know I had it all the time. I could have done this. Don't get to the end of your life and realize that God had already provided everything for you and I to enjoy, listen, his life that he's given to us. So, verse 12, again, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul was taken by all the things that God was giving to him. And he said, that was what I wanted to live for. So he says, listen to this thought. He says, I'm not running that race as if I already received it, because there's so much more to be had by the Lord. So I'm still striving for that. But now watch what he says here in verse 16. Drop down there with me for a moment. Nevertheless, whereunto, now look what he says. We have already what? Believers, you and I, we have already attained this. Don't think you don't have it. It's been given already. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Put your faith and your trust in what God has already provided. We've already been given it. Now, so here's the idea. You've been given the Holy Spirit is what he's talking about, and that is everything that you need to glorify the Lord, and that's why he gave it. And because he gave it, we have limitless access to the throne of God and to the power of God, but it must be for his honor and glory and not for ourselves. So, as we consider this, look at verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So you know what? We can. Peter, you take Peter after he rejected the Lord. Do you think he thought? Now it's not true, but do you think he thought the Lord was finished with him? But the Lord was not finished with him, was he? See, if we're not careful, that's what we think in the past. God's finished with me. I've let him down too many times. That is the testimony of every believer. Moses messed up, did he not? More than once. And so did all the other believers. It is the mercy and grace of God that sets us apart for his honor and glory. So you know what? You put those things behind. Even these things, ready? Well, this is what I used to do for God. Well, if it's not what you're doing for him now, there's no relationship. So a lot of people say, well, this is what I used to do for the Lord. Well, why aren't you doing it now? Because we got our eyes off the Lord and we've lost our zeal. We've lost our hunger. Has God changed? No, maybe our faith or our belief or our trust in God has been maybe thwarted a little bit. All right. So he says, verse 14, because of Christ, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many be perfect or mature, and this is being mindful of the things of God here, and that is what God has given to us or entrusted to us in the life of every believer, and that is what will glorify our God through the Holy Spirit. So he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, listen to this, God shall reveal even unto this to you. If you're looking for the Lord, God's going to guide you. Look, all we have to say is, God, I do want to follow you. Lord, I do want you to glorify yourself in me. Lord, I am willing to trust you. I am willing to understand this, that you are everything to me. And everything I have is yours. And because of your grace, I'm all yours. And I also understand that you have given me and equipped me with everything that I will ever need to honor and glorify. That's a step of faith. Lord, I want to be your servant. Lord, I do want you to work in and through my life. We've got to be willing to do business with the Lord. Lord, I do want to step out on the water. Bid me to come. He says, come. He says, follow me. I want to show you great and mighty things if you'll call on me and ask me. All right. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We've been empowered. Stop looking at yourself and start looking to the Lord and what he can do, because he is the one that is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's your life and mine as well. Amen. All right, so the next thought is he wants us to be mindful of who you follow. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. Why? For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and they profess to know the Lord. Are there false prophets today? There are people that say, well, if you're right with God, God's going to give you all this money and all this wealth, and you'll have big mansions like me and airplanes and everything else. And if that's not happening in your life, just give me some money. That's what they do. And you would lay your hands on the TV and send in $100. And you would be surprised how many people do that. Is any of that instruction in the Word of God at all in any way whatsoever? Do the prophets of God ask for people to give them money specifically? And then that your life's not right if you're not rich? You'll not find that kind of prosperity gospel in the Bible, in the Word of God. So he says, be careful who you follow. Verse 18, for many walk, of which I've told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They just seek to gratify themselves, and whose glory is their shame, is in their shame. What they're glorying about, what they're all happy about, is really before the Lord going to be their shame. Who mind earthly things. They're not pointing people towards heavenly things. They're more worried about what we have and what we don't have, monetarily speaking, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, be mindful and careful about who you're going to follow. And then lastly tonight, be mindful of our conversation. And the word conversation there in the Greek has the idea, be mindful of our citizenship. In other words, don't forget that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And yet you are an ambassador for that kingdom and that you represent him. You are God's representative to the world in your life. Amen. To all those who are under your influence. In other words, that are in your life. Because you have the opportunity, as they come into your life with the Spirit of God, to touch them with the Spirit of God, to influence them, if we're yielded to it. Not, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, walking in the confidence of God's Holy Spirit as he brings us into that truth, that the power of God might touch their lives and allow them to see, first of all, their need for salvation, and then a walk and the joy of the Lord. So, verse 20, for our conversation, that's our citizenship, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Do you believe that tonight? He's in the process of changing it now, from the inside. All right, now watch this. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby, listen, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And that's past, present, and future for the life of the believer. So tonight, are we looking to ourselves, what we can do or not do, or to God and what he's already done for you and I? So tonight, God says, I want you to come and follow me. I don't want you just to sit in the boat. I want you to come out and walk with me and do the things that you cannot do in your own strength. Must be done by the power and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, the understanding it brings to our hearts and minds. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. May you empower our lives. May we understand how that works, that you've already provided that through your Holy Spirit. May we call upon you. May you give us the faith to trust you and to believe you and to walk in the truths that you've given to us. Bless again. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.